Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
You know, in other words, what is important to him is important to you. What burdens him burdens you. When he says, go to the right, you go to the right. And when he says, stop that in your life, you stop it. When he says, this is wrong and I want you to change, then you come to terms with it because you have a heart for God. That's bottom line Christianity. In other words, what is God looking for? He's looking for men and women whose hearts are completely His.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
We are this month looking at the idea that He is our shepherd. God is our shepherd. You find that in Psalm 78, and I'm going to be reading a few verses, verse 52 and 3, and jumping into a thought related to God's working in the life of a nation, children of Israel. He said, but He made His own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And He led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He goes on to talk about other exploits and how God was working in the lives of these children of Israel. Verse 65, then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine. And He smote His enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, He refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and He chose not the tribe of Ephraim. And notice the choices He made, verse 68, but chose the tribe of Judah. He chose the Mount Zion, which He loved. He built His sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth, which He hath established forever. And let's read verse 70 and 72 about the man that God chose. Ready? Verse 70. He chose David also, His servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob His people and Israel His inheritance. So He fed them according to the integrity of His heart and guided them by the skillfulness of His hands. We'll be looking today at the life of David. And Hezekiah summarizes for us David's life in these verses that we read. And I'd like to take a few moments, if I may, and focus in on this because we're going to be doing a continued series through the life and character of David. Really a narrative story with timeless truths that I hope will be of a help to you. We cannot walk in his shoes or his sandals, but we certainly can learn from great lessons. And I hope and trust that this would be the case as we look at the life of David. 1 Samuel chapter 13 really starts the process in which we find David. But let me just summarize it, because probably Hezekiah was the one that wrote Psalm 78, and he sums it up in these three verses, Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. And you find, first of all, he chose David also, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes. He was following the ewes is the idea he was tending and caring for those sheep, those pregnant sheep even that were great with young. He was caring for them. He had a desire for them, and he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance, and the very sheep at a young age that he took care of. He had a natural desire, but not just a natural desire. Number one quality you see in David, and you will see it throughout his life, is number one, he had a righteous desire. He showed this righteous desire. You find this stated in 1 Samuel 13, 14, when it says this way, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." If you're writing down references in your Bible, put down 2 Chronicles 16, 9, because Asa said it this way, and the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, listen, on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him, whose heart is the idea of complete towards him. He is so connected by his desires of what God wants, and just as a servant, whatever he was told to do, he did. And his righteous desire that God, who saw David as a heart after him, the only time it's said about any human in Scripture, he says it about David. And here in this Psalms, he unfolds for us that David really was chosen. If you backed up in verse 67, you'd find that in 68, that God really did choose a people. And he also chose a place, Jerusalem. And he chose a person, and it was David. Because David had a righteous desire, as one author said, to be a person after God's own heart, it means that you're a person whose life is in harmony with the Lord. You know, in other words, what is important to him is important to you. What burdens him burdens you. When he says, go to the right, you go to the right. And when he says, stop that in your life, you stop it. When he says, this is wrong and I want you to change, then you come to terms with it because you have a heart for God. That's bottom line Christianity. In other words, what is God looking for? He's looking for men and women whose hearts are completely his, completely. That means there are no locked closets. There's nothing been swept under the rug or under the mat. That means that when you do wrong, you admit it, and immediately you come to terms. You see, it's in the little things and the lonely places that show our choices for him. That's what it was for David. Because David there with those sheep, taking care of those sheep and fighting off those enemies and being in a place in those lonely nights there under the stars of Bethlehem where he grew up, he learned about who his God was. He had a righteous desire. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, that that is what God is looking for. But not only that, number two, you also find as you read verse 72 in a synopsis form, you also find that David not only showed a righteous desire, but David developed real character. You end up finding this in Psalm 78. Verse 2, when he says it this way, so he fed them. Now, not just the sheep, but also the people that he was now going to be leading according to the integrity of his heart. The very Hebrew word integrity has the idea of soundness or innocence or unimpaired or having a simplicity of life. In other words, David developed this real character because integrity was about what you are when nobody's looking. That bone deep honesty that when God does this work of inner qualities, he's never in a hurry. And that attitude that David had, as you would see through his life, that character that he showed when times that he could have done something and it seemed to be right to do, but he didn't because of the character, including the opportunity he had to kill the very person that was chasing him in Saul. The times in which David found himself saying, this is right to do, including the simplicity of knowing his whole life is what it's all about. Alan Redpath said it best when he talking about the life of David in an excellent book, The Making of a Man of God, said, quote, "The conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment. The manufacturing of a saint is the task of a lifetime." Can I read it to you again? That great pastor in the former Moody Church said it this way, "The conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment. The manufacturing of a saint, that's the task of a lifetime." In other words, it takes a moment to become a Christian. It takes a lifetime to become Christ-like. Some of you might be here and you have heard the message of God's word, and I don't want you to miss the point that David showed a righteous desire and David developed real character. It was the integrity of his heart that God knew, I can trust him. I can move him out of the sheepfold to become that musician for Saul and eventually misunderstood and now chased as a vagabond and a fugitive. All of it as a part of David's life to take him to the throne of leadership. But if we stopped there, we would miss, I think, the most important element of all when you find at the end of verse 72 when it says, "And he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." In other words, David not only showed a righteous desire and he developed real character, but what that says, he was practicing a responsible humility. He guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He was an expert in shepherding, and he had that skillfulness of a marksman with his sling to kill that lion and that bear. And he was always watching out because he had number one sheep in mind. And that same attitude as that dependable shepherd that he watched out for those sheep was birthed out of that humbleness to know, I'm a nobody. I am one of eight. And yet, God, you chose me. At that time in which he was anointed as king, we'll be looking in the future. And yet, as soon as he was anointed king, where do you find David next? Back in the sheepfold, taking care of the sheep. There was this humility, this, I'm just doing what I'm told to do. And many of you that find yourself in places of leadership know, whether it be business or other responsibilities, that you know you would love to go back to be that stockman, having people tell you what to do. Wouldn't that be nice? You wouldn't have to worry about all the headaches that come with leadership. But the fact is David knew, you know what? I've just got this responsibility, and I'm going to be humble about it all because, God, you told me to do this, and I'm going to do this. And I would suggest to you that when we find ourselves in places of great pressure and we get proud and arrogant and God might begin elevating you to certain positions now, and rightfully so, you're recognized, and there begins that thought that seeps in the back of your mind to the very forefront to think you're really somebody. Be careful. Wow, I've got this leadership now and I'm going to prove how good I am. You better be careful, my friend. Because that's the very time that God says, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's willing to say, he's the chief shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so as we will be taking the days ahead and looking the life of David, I would say to you, my friend, that these qualities summarize the life of David because all of those are summed up in David had a heart after God. And those same difficulties and struggles that God allowed David to go through and arranged for David to go through to shape him into the very leader that God wanted and knew David would be. So much in contrast to the very leader of Saul that the people picked. It is not much different for you and I today of the difficulties, the trials, the difficulties and struggles that we go through, the times of great joyful events and the other times of great sorrow, that all of those God uses to shape your life because it takes a moment to become a Christian. It takes a lifetime to become Christ-like. And if you've never had that moment in which you have, as the Bible says, to be born again, you have missed the very point and purpose for your life. Because the reality of life is it makes no sense and there is no peace and no satisfaction in a life without Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.